Happy first day of winter. Yeah, it's the first day of winter. If you knew that, raise your hand. Some people actually read the calendar. This is good. And for all of our friends in China and Australia, it's happy first day of summer. Think of that. This world is upside down. Well, half of this world is upside down. Interesting. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we give it to you so that you can give it to us. We give our heart so you can give your heart. We give our prayers, our attention. We give our desires. We give our hopes. All that we are or ever could be, we just give it to you, knowing that you'll work on it and return it better. Lord, I give you my tongue, my vocal cords, my capacity to speak your word. I pray that I might be your oracle today, that your name will be glorified, your people will be blessed and edified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I told, what's Eric's wife's name? Denise? I'll wake up here in a minute. I told Denise, I said, you're in trouble. She got up here and opened with that scripture out of Isaiah about Jesus' name being Emmanuel. And she did a sermonette that just kind of cancels everything I was going to do today. So I guess we should call the children back down and open our presents. Now, sure enough, seriously, if I can do that. I want us to take some time today to think about that name, Emmanuel. Denise didn't know I had that in my thoughts and my sermon notes when she got up and shared that. But, you know, Jesus is such an amazing name, and it is so connected to us. I mean, my dear friend and co-pastor in ministry, Juan de la Parra, in Nacuasar, he told me one day, he said, you guys that speak and understand English, he said, I envy you, because when you say Jesus, it means something to you. He said, we have a Jesus, we have Jesus, but he said, everybody's named Jesus. And he said, it's a precious and wonderful name, you know, but he says, like, everybody is Jesus. You're either Jesus Maria or Maria Jesus. You know, it's just who we are in Mexico. And I think that's lovely, but it's like, in the English language, there is a certain awe, reverence, a certain place set aside for the name Jesus. But a name that I don't like to use the word ignore, we don't ignore it, but there's a name that we fail to use and think about and meditate on. Emmanuel is also his name. And it's like, as Denise was saying, it has meaning. It means God with us. Wow. Jesus means Savior. Well, the only way the Savior can save is to come and be with us. In order for him to be Jesus, he has to first be Emmanuel. He has to come to us. Ever think of that? In many of the languages of the world, all around the earth, names have great significance, much more than our English names. Okay, let's take an example from our brothers in the Native Americans. In the years past, and for many of the tribes even yet today, their children are quite, you know, quite big before they get their name. They may be 8 years old before they finally name the kid, because they watch for something that has a close connection and meaning to that child. You know, the kid gets all excited about the clouds, and so they name him, you know, this long Indian name that has a meaning. It has significance. It means he who watches the clouds, you know. Come on, you all watch the movie Dances with Wolves. Well, that's real stuff. And many languages and many peoples around the earth, nations, have this meanings for their names. And the Hebrew language is very much like that. And some of the most interesting studies I've ever done were names in the Hebrew language. It's just awesome. Abraham, his name was actually changed from Abram to Abraham. And Abraham means father of many nations. You know, Sarah says, father of many nations! Lunch is ready. When she spoke his name, she saw the picture. This has had even more meaning, significance to me just in the last couple of months, because I recently purchased an amazing book on the Hebrew language. and it's a language of pictures. And every time the Hebrews speak a word, especially in the realm of names, they actually see a picture of something happening. It's just fantastic. See if you can find Matthew chapter 1. We could name this a lot of things, but just so you help you remember it, we'll name this one Encourage Mary and spell it M-E-R-R-Y. We need to encourage the Mary in Christmas. We need to encourage joy because our Savior has come. We need to encourage joy and rejoicing because God is with us. Emmanuel is here. I mean, there's no reason we should ever be sad or despondent on Christmas because it is a merry occasion. M-E-R-R-Y. Amen. So we're going to encourage Mary today. That's what I'm going to call it. Are you ready? Here we go. Did I tell you where to go? Matthew 1, what verse we're going to read? Would you like to start with verse 18? Let's do that. I'll be in a New King James, by the way, Lucy. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. This doesn't happen every day. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. He's going, my bride-to-be is pregnant, and there's just something special and holy about it, but it's like, it doesn't look good to the people who don't understand. I need to just kind of, you know, we just need to make this go away. Well, if anybody's ever gotten pregnant, you know it doesn't just go away till 9 months later. Number 20. While he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. About that time, I can see Joseph jumping out of bed, hitting his knees, and say, God, is this really you? I need a sign. Number 21. The angel goes on to say, she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus. You still with me? Jesus literally means Savior. 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, the prophet said, this is found where Denise read this morning, Isaiah 7:14. The prophet says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife. And did not know her, that's sexually, he did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Okay, let's just stop there for just a minute. If there was ever a divine purpose for God to give his only begotten son, if there was ever a really, purpose of purposes, reason of reasons, why God would send Jesus, his son, to us, it's because he, God, wanted to be with us. I mean, you could take it all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. One of the first things we found once Adam and his wife are on the scene, one of the first things we find is that they fellowship with God. The Spirit of God comes down into the beautiful paradise of garden, and they walk and talk together. It's hard to imagine what that would be like. I mean, we have it in a very small way, of course. We walk and talk and communicate with God, but in a much more elementary way in this particular time. But you see, in Adam's day there, before he sinned, there was nothing to separate Adam and Eve from God. They were totally, totally able to make contact. There was nothing in the way of communication. You might have noticed by now that the cleaner your heart is and the more repentive you are, the easier it is to contact God. And the more your heart is full of evil or things that shouldn't be there, the harder it is to contact God. Okay? And that's pretty obvious. Well, Adam and Eve, before they sinned, there was absolutely nothing in the way. There was no sin there existing to keep them apart. And, I mean, their communication with God was just sweet. It's It's beyond our imagination. Well, we know this, as the story goes on, that, you know, sin came in because they made wrong choices. Sin came in, and God had to separate Adam and Eve from the garden and from his presence. And then for thousands of years, God's looking for ways to reconnect to man. And on rare occasions, he was able to connect to man through the great prophets. But that was a very limited connection because, you know, everybody's not a great prophet in tune with the Holy Spirit. And I can just see the yearning in God's heart. He says, I want to really connect to my people. You know, he longed to have fellowship with Adam and Eve. And he says, you know, I've lost this. There's a longing in my heart. I want to connect to my people again. I want to connect to my Adam and my Eve, my creation, my children. I want to connect to them realistically and eternally. I just want to get with them and be in them and have them in me. And I just want us to be one again. So he sends us a Savior named Jesus to deal with the sin problem so he can have fellowship again, so he could be Emmanuel. The reason he's dealt with our sin problem is because he wants to be Emmanuel, God with us. He longs to be Emmanuel. That's the longing of his heart. There's so much could be taught out of this. I mean, as it moves on, as it progresses ahead, you know, he sends the Holy Spirit. Because he said, now everybody that wants to be connected to me can be. And by the Holy Spirit, now we all have that option. We all have that opportunity to connect to God and have fellowship once again. Did you bring me some water? You're going to bring me some water. Somebody's going to bring me some water. Look, I have water. It's not mine. Who sipped out of that? Tastes like Sophia. Emmanuel. I think it would behoove us, be beneficial to us, to give the name Emmanuel more attention. I'm going to start calling you Manny. Manuelita. It's wonderful. Let's all change our name to Emmanuel. Emmanuelita. Emanuela. Let's change our name every time you say, hey, God with us. Hey, God with us. Isn't it cool? Where am I? I'm supposed to be reading the Christmas story. We're in Matthew. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. I'll get it. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, if we wanted to, we could stop here and talk about another one of his names, king of the Jews. Number 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes, scribes are like great teachers of the prophetic word, all the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. It's interesting, he knew enough about the word of God, he knew enough about the old covenant and the writings of what we would call the Bible for their day. He knew enough to know that this king that would be born in Jerusalem was also the Christ. He says, where is this Christ going to be born? He says, I hear there's a king was born. Where is this Christ that was born? You see, he had some knowledge of the word of God, of knowledge of prophecy. Number 5. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler. Now his name is ruler. Who will shepherd my people Israel. Now his name is shepherd. Barbara does a lovely teaching on the names of God, and it's like the name is called based on the relationship of the person who's calling the name. You know, she goes through it, and it's a beautiful teaching, and uses the example of, you know, depending on how we're clicking, she may call me Calvin or Calvino, Calvin Lee. Honey, Calvin Scott, what'd you do? I've even had her call me Rascal. So don't think there's many gods. No, there's one God. But because he has many relationships on different levels, he's called different things. Now some of them even call me Tata. Some of them call me brother. It's just one me, but I have many names. So when you see the many names of God, many names of Jesus, that's the way it works. Are you ready? Where are we? Number seven? Let's go with number seven. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." Now, if you've read on in the next half a chapter and be on into the next chapter, you realize the man was not a good person. He didn't want to come to worship that child. That was a deceptive statement. He wanted to come and kill the child. And he later killed hundreds of children of that age group, hoping to kill the king that had been born. Number nine. When they, the wise men, had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. Presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You're awake, right? Just try to imagine for a moment the awe. I mean, they're looking for this child. They know something super duper is going on here because they see this supernatural manifestation of a star in the heavenlies that's like leading them to a specific area. And they get there and there's the star, you know, hanging over this house. It said house there. I thought it was a manger. Anyway. Don't worry about that. They knock on the door. Somebody comes to the door, probably Joseph. They say, "We hear you have a special baby, or like the king was born in this house." And it's like, he said, "Well, come on in, you guys, come on in." They walk in the house, and all of a sudden they fall to their knees. There's such an anointing in the house. There's such an anointing in the house. You know, they didn't peck on one another's shoulder and say, "Okay, we found the kid. What do we do now? I guess we ought to worship him or something." No, I can assure you, when they got close, they felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I mean, they were feeling goosebumps running up and down their spine. They said, "Woo! Yeah! Hallelujah!" And all of a sudden, their trembling knees got weak and they fell to the floor. And they fell over on their face and they began to worship the Son of the living God. Interesting that they were wise. What's the old saying? Wise men still seek him. We could say wise men still worship him. Wise men still bow and fall prostrate in his presence. Oh my God, this is so rich. How could it be that it would be so rich? How could it be that it's so special where this child is? It's because Emmanuel had come. Say they walk in and they're feeling all this and they're trembling and they go, "God's in the house." The name Emmanuel had meaning to them. They sensed the presence of God Almighty. Wow. It radiated from this child. Well, let's go on a little bit. Where are we? About number 12. Then they, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Well, wow. Let's detour for a moment and just put the Christmas story on hold for a moment and ask ourselves the question, how is it that he's with us? And turn to John 14, please. We have the question before us. How is it that Emmanuel, God, is with us? How is it he's here? For those of his followers, his disciples, and those who followed him, I can imagine that over the 33 years of his life, they begin to realize, yes, Emmanuel is here. God is truly with us. I mean, they're watching the dead be raised. They're watching this guy walk on water. They're watching him, you know, multiply the loaves and the fishes. They're watching him heal all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease. I mean, nothing's too hard for him. The man is magnificent. And they're going, God is truly in this man. He's truly Emmanuel. God is here with us now. And then his arrest, his torture, his crucifixion, and his burial. And they go, oh my God, where's God now? I mean, surely someone asked the question. I thought he was God. What happened? Well, back up a little bit in your heart and wait for me to find John 14. Okay, we found it. I think I'll start with verse 1, Lucy, and just read a few verses there. That is so beautiful. Are you ready, guys? Let's just read about 11 verses here. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, just to give you a background on this particular part of the scripture, just prior to this, he had been talking to them about the fact that he would soon go away. They're going, no. You can't do that. We just got you. We just need you. No, you can't go away. Peter says, no, Lord. Everything, no, don't go away. He said, I have to go. And so, you know, they're in this dilemma in their hearts of him saying he's talking about going away when he's just getting things going good. You know, the ministry's just really got to making progress. You don't quit now. He said, no, I got to go. They're troubled. Their hearts are troubled. But he says in 14:1, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. Hang in there, baby. We got a plan. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, I don't want to bust your bubble, but this is not a gold mansion on Salvation Street. This is a dwelling place where you can live with God and God can live with you and you get to be together forever. That's better than gold. You know, we have this elementary picture in our hearts. You know, Reuben's got his mansion and Mauro's got his mansion and I've got my mansion and Juanito's got his mansion. And, you know, it's like, boy, it's a big old beautiful mansion. It's so lonesome in here. I think I'll walk down the street and visit Juan. I'm telling you, this place, this mansion, this dwelling place is where God lives. And we get to live there. Oh, it doesn't get much more golden than that. When God says, opens the door and says, come into my house, baby. This is where you're going to live. Oh, that's sweet. Verse 3 says, and if I go, remember he's talking about going and they don't like it. He says, if I go and I'll prepare a place for you, and then I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, hang on. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father. No man comes to his mansion. No man comes to the dwelling place of God. No man comes to heaven. No man comes to the Father but through me. Verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him, the Father, and have seen him, the Father. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. Jesus says in verse 9, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is saying, God, wake up! My name's Emmanuel! Did you forget my name? Philip, wake up. My name is Emmanuel. God with us. Oh, I'm getting excited. Makes you want to preach. Wow. Number 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me. God with us. Emmanuel. The Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. I mean, it's not every day that a prophet runs around raising the dead. Believe that. Everybody's happy, right? Let's jump down a little bit to verse 16 and 17, 18. Yeah, 16 first. Verse 16 says, Jesus says, I'll pray to the Father, and he'll give you another helper. Older King James says, another comforter. I love the rendering. Because he's such a comforter for me. He will give you another helper or comforter that he may abide. Oh, that word abide. God with us is God abiding. That he, God, may abide with you forever. How long? That's why he's building you a mansion, dwelling place. He wants you there forever by his side. He wants you to sleep in the place in the middle. When Christina was about 3 years old, my mom and dad came and spent the night with us. And it was a rather small bed for them to sleep in. And they're kind of, you know, old and big and don't bend real good. And the bed didn't quite fit Christina told my mom, she says, Grandma Charlene, I want to sleep with you tonight. Grandma says, well, Christina, that sounds nice, but the bed's really not very big. And Christina responds, well, how about the place in the middle? How about the place in the middle? Did your kids have a place in the middle? Go ahead, take them out of the crib, put them in the middle, because they're going to be too big to be in either place pretty soon. You wish you'd have spent more time with them in the middle. Well, God wants us to sleep in that place in the middle, right there with him. He wants you so close because he wants to be Emmanuel to you. Where am I? Let's go on. Are we in 17? Okay, this precious helper that Jesus is going to send, the Father sending in Jesus' name, is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is always truth. He'll never lie to you. That's good. He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he, the Spirit of truth, dwells with you and will be in you. Where is Emmanuel? Where is he? In us. What is his name? No. Emmanuel's name. What's his name? What's the significance? What's the meaning? God with us. Where is God with us? In us. Everybody, in me. He wants to be your Emmanuel. And Jesus is trying his best to explain it to them here. And they're going, I'm not sure. I think I got it. I mean, we'd be the same way. I mean, Jesus spoke in such spiritual terms. It was, you know, they hadn't learned that vocabulary yet. Look at number 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I will be your Emmanuel. You need to take this home and love on it. He won't leave you alone as an orphan. He wants to be your Emmanuel, God with you. Wow. I will not leave you orphans. I'll let you sleep in the place in the middle, he says. I'd say that's cool, wouldn't you? Go to verse 25, please. I'll read a few verses here, 25 through 27. Jesus is still speaking to them about this same subject. He said, the things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he's speaking to you something Jesus has said already. And so by what you hear from the Holy Spirit, you can say, God is with me. Number 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father and my Father is greater than I. Oh, it starts getting sweet and heavy at the same time. Go to chapter 17, verse 20. I've greatly lengthened the Christmas story here, so I need to cut it short. 17:20. Jesus is praying here. I'm so glad he gets his prayers answered. He says, I do not pray for these. Okay, these signifies the 12 disciples. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Have you ever read the Bible that was written by the disciples? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Yeah. Well, Jesus prayed that those that believe, based on what they said, would be included in this prayer. You see, you follow me? He's praying. He's as much as saying in this verse, number 20, I'm praying for you 12 disciples and all the people forever and ever, amen, that are going to believe on me because of what you're preaching. It's me and you. So he's praying for us. Say he prays for me. 21. Here is his prayer. Listen carefully because this is the prayer he prays for you and I. 21, that they, that's us, all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they, us, also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them. I in them. Jesus said, I in them. Father, I in them. Where is he? He's Emmanuel. Say it again. He's Emmanuel to me because he's in me. Wow. Let's go to 22. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. Wow. You mean he loves Jesus and us too? 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I've declared to them your name, Emmanuel. I will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. I almost get confused because I don't take time to separate who is them and who is I and who is us and who are they and who are those. And bottom line, he's trying really hard to get us in the place in the middle. Raise your hand if you want to sleep in the place in the middle with God. Luke chapter 1. I need to finish the Christmas story because the kids are upstairs want to come and open their presents. Are you ready? Luke 1:26. I'm going to read about a bunch of verses. Are we ready? 1:26. Now, in the sixth month, or we would in modern vernacular, we'd say in June. In the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you." You know, this is approximately 9 months before Jesus is born, and the angel is already saying, "Emmanuel's here." Look at what it said there. The Lord is with you. That is Emmanuel. Prophetically, he's already there. And he says, "Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Whoa, that will melt your butter. Can you imagine God showing up and saying, an angel showing up and saying, "Hey, you found favor with God." You go, what do I want for Christmas? Number 31, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. She'll call his name Savior. Are you following me? Jesus means Savior. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he, Jesus, will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. I can assure you, all other kingdoms will find an end. The kingdom of Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, Emmanuel, will be forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Come on, angel. I'm not there yet. 35, the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you." Oh, she begins to quiver at the lips and tremble. "Therefore also the Holy One is to be born, who will be called the Son of God." I got a feeling that girl melted. She must have melted. I mean, Lord, who, me? What are you saying? Now, the angel inserts a miracle here to help her believe. Mary is wanting to believe, but I see that she's like, I got to believe this, but it's really happening. But somebody pinch me. Maybe I need to wake up. Is this for real? Well, the angel throws in a testimony here and a miraculous thing to help her build her faith. In verse 36, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative," another version calls her her cousin, "has also conceived a son in her old age." And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, or could someone that could have no children. Verse 37, "For with God nothing is impossible." Now when the angel shares this news and says, "With God nothing's impossible," Mary's going, "Amen to that." And she says in verse 38, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." The angel departed from her. If Mary, the mother of Jesus, ever preached a sermon, it's this one. I love it. Mary's sermons. She preached several in the Word, and they're all so short and so powerful. I'd love to be able to preach like that. It's always bothered me that it takes 45 minutes to get my point across. When God says something, he just says it. And Mary says, "Be it unto me according to your word." Whoa. Everything God has ever said to us, through his word or otherwise, we need to say, "Be it unto me according to your word." However you want it, Lord, that's where I'm going. Where am I? You know which verse I'm in now? Oh, I need to look at page 2 of my notes. I'm still in John. In 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord." Okay, let it be in me according to your word. Well, let's just go on a bit. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. This is her pregnant cousin. And when it happened, Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth's in there doing dishes, making the bed, whatever. She hears Mary come in the front door, recognizes the voice, and a six-month-old baby in her womb starts jumping around. Some of you girls know what I'm talking about, but I have no idea. But when you feel the baby, Rachel's pregnant this morning, when you feel that baby jumping around your womb, just say, okay, let's move to the next step. I'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Start prophesying. And then Elizabeth speaks out with a loud voice. Nothing hidden. She said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The woman actually recognizes that Mary's baby is the Lord himself. This has to be by the Holy Spirit, a revelation. 44, "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." He was kicking for joy. "Blessed is she," Elizabeth says about Mary, "blessed is she who believed." Remember Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." What follows believing? There will be a fulfillment. What follows believing? There will be a fulfillment. You believing for something? What follows believing? There will be a fulfillment. Mary responds, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maid servant. Behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Can you imagine all the generations that have passed since then and we're still calling her blessed? "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." You don't mind if I sing it? I'm going to sing it anyhow. "For he has shown strength with his arm and scattered the proud in their imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever." I have to quit singing now. And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and that must have been a glorious 3 months for those two ladies. And then she returned to her own house. Go get the kids and bring them down. Just close your eyes, please. Everybody say, "I love the Christmas story." Now, please, I'm asking you, please, close your eyes. I don't know why, I just like to say that. I hope you don't mind. I really want you to take this truth home with you, that we're not just celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, we're celebrating the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. And every time you think of Jesus as a Savior, or a Redeemer, or a Healer, a Deliverer, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, the King, the Son, anything you want to think about Jesus or any way you want to classify him in your heart, please don't forget. Always remember that his name is Emmanuel, and the significance is he's with us. And next time you're in need, don't raise your hands, but how many of us have needs? You can be assured but that by the Holy Spirit in this day and in this hour, by the Holy Spirit, he's still Emmanuel, more so than he's ever been. He is God with us. The whole reason, all the reasons that he came to earth, all the reasons he was born, are all summed up in the fulfilling of God the Father's longing to be with us. Now lift up your eyes towards heaven and just begin to see Emmanuel. Lord, we see you this morning as Emmanuel. God with us, God with us, God with us. Lord, may your prayer be fulfilled in me. Be in me. Be one in me. I receive you, Holy Father. I receive you, Lord Jesus. I receive you, Savior. I receive you, Emmanuel. I receive you as God in me this morning. I confess Jesus as my Lord. I put my faith and trust in my Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, because I know that He is Emmanuel to me. You're here for us this morning, Lord. Let us take this beautiful truth with us, that you're here with us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's stand to our feet for a minute. Hallelujah. I tell you what, Christmas is a sweet time, folks. Don't let the commercialism get you down. Christmas is precious. Christmas is precious because it's a celebration of the birth of Emmanuel. Wow. I want all the kids to come up here by me. All the kids, come up here by me. Yeah, come on. Come on, kiddos. Come on, kiddos. Come sit by me. Did you ever see anything so precious? You guys are so cool. Aren't they pretty? Do you see those adults out there? You know, they used to be kids. Many, 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 many millions of years ago, they were kids. And when they were kids, they just loved to get gifts at Christmas. Do you guys like to get gifts at Christmas? Well, our church has prepared some little gifts for you, and we even got gifts for the old people. But we're going to give the gifts to the little people first because they're so special. Here comes another one. Look at this. Come on, Noah. Come on, one foot in front of the other. You're coming, boy. That's it. That's it. He says, I will not be denied. There he is. Adults, you can go ahead and take your seats and just relax a minute. Yeah. You guys ready for your gifts? Are you? If you don't like it, you can give it to me. Is that all right? There they go. Okay, before you pass them out, we're going to say a prayer, okay? Are you about ready to pass them out? Okay, all the kids, close your eyes. Put your hands up like this, like a, you know, what we call a prayer pose. Put your hands like that and close your eyes and say, Dear Jesus, all the kids, Dear Jesus, thank you for being born. Thank you for coming to be with us. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for being God with me. I invite you, Lord Jesus, please live in my heart forever and ever. I love you, Jesus, and I love your birthday. Amen. Okay, they're going to pass out gifts. You all right with that? You all right with that? He says, I'm ready. Here we go. One, two, three.
Now we would like to have the youth girls to come up, please. Youth girls, young girls. Here, please. And if they want, they can pick their own if they want. And the red ones. Now if we can have all the ladies come up, please. Thank you. They can just... well, yeah. That's fine. Yeah, hand them. Está bien? Sí. Oh. winner in place. Now, last but not least, the gentlemen, please. All the men, teenage boys, all the men can come up, please. Yeah, and if I guess if your husband is not here or vice versa, you can also come up and take it to them.
Eric and Denise, you need to get your present. Everybody been served? Everybody have a gift? It make you happy? Now, Barbara already mentioned this, but I'm going to mention it again. We're passing out gifts in Mexico as well. And there were over 1,000 went out yesterday in three different programs. We've got a total of 10,000. Everybody say 10,000. That's a lot of gifts. And it's to the glory of God, but there's a total of 10,000 this year be passed out in Mexico. In many little pueblos, a lot of the places will just be 40, 50 kids, some of them 60 or 80. And so there's going to be a lot of pueblos involved. Most of these go to the rural areas. We did do one yesterday in Agua Prieta with 1,000 kids, but the majority of the gifts go to rural areas where they don't travel much. They don't have a Walmart next door. And the kids are so very appreciative of the gifts. Now, this is what I want you to really remember. In the gifts that we send to Mexico, there's a little gospel tract in every bag. And it's a colorful gift, a colorful little tract called The Road to God. And it has the plan of salvation and in simple terms can tell a child or an adult how to receive Jesus as their Savior. And it teaches them in the back of the tract. It's about 16 pages or so. It's nice little track. And it also teaches them how to pray. And I just want us to pray about that right now. Will you help me? Father, as we send these gifts, Lord, and those that are being sent out in Mexico that have this gospel track, Lord, that's the Word of God. There's scripture after scripture in that little booklet. And Lord, we just pray, as this has been prayed again by many, Lord, many are in agreement here. Our Mexican brothers that are involved, the pastors, everyone's in agreement. Lord, we just set our hearts in agreement that people will be saved because of this gospel that goes out in this special way, this special time of the year. Pray, Lord, that as those little candy bags, those gift bags reach the homes, that gospel tract will be read by everyone in the home that knows how to read. And his souls will come into the kingdom of God because of your word that's being sown. And so we seed this word, we sow this word in the precious name of Jesus. That you, sir, might be Emmanuel, God with us, to the precious homes in Mexico who are receiving our gifts. Thank you, sir. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Bill's holding up a calendar. We have calendars, and they're discount priced because it's not the first of the year yet. If you wait till next June, we'll give you one for half price. Now, please take a calendar if you need one. And we give them to you in Jesus' name. It's our blessing to you. I told Barbara last night, I said, I wish I could just go to the bank, pull a bunch of money, and give everybody $100. Anybody been watching the Secret Sam deal on TV? That guy that gives anonymously $100 bills all over the... I want to do something like that. Wouldn't that be fun? Well, have a great week and a very Merry Christmas. If you can stay, we have some snack food in the back. Please feel free. Eric made Portuguese soup from Hawaii. Go figure. And there's a bowl of soup for you. God bless you.